As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at jackarcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at jackarcher.com for 15% off your first order.
Welcome back. This is episode 527 of the NYYST podcast. I am your host, Christian. We are presented by NYY Underground. And as many of you know, this is the final season of NYYST. The show will be concluding at the end of the season here. And I'm at a point here where I'm just ready to say, hey, I'm done. I don't want to come on here every week and talk about this team anymore, okay? We've been through a lot of highs and a lot of lows with this team, but right now I don't know if I want to do it anymore. Honestly, after what we just witnessed in Citi Field, I don't know if I have another few months in me here doing this mainly all by myself here, trying to keep NYYST going to the end of the season here, because what we just witnessed in Citi Field was disgusting, okay? The New York Yankees are a team that should not have 2-7 road trips. I don't care what the offense looks like. There's six qualified hitters in Major League Baseball with an OPS over 1,000. The Yankees have two of them, yet they have an offense where you don't trust anybody outside of the top three hitters in this lineup. Disgusting, okay? This bullpen, people are giving me statistics about how good it is atrocious. Garbage. Garbage bullpen, okay? But still, Milwaukee's a good team. You get swept, whatever. Move on. Then you have the friggin' Baltimore Orioles, who you massacred just a week ago at Yankee Stadium. You're lucky to get out of there with a game. And then you face the Mets, who are thinking about selling on June 1st. And you're lucky to get out of there with a game. And you finish a road trip 2-7. It's disgusting. I'm sorry, you cannot be a serious playoff team. You cannot be a team that is going to sit there and tell everybody, oh, we're a real championship contender, and then go through 2-7 through those three teams. You just can't do it. It cannot happen. The offense disappears. You finally get a big game out of Anthony Volpe. He was great today with the bat. The big hit, fighting back from 0-2, draws a walk, makes it 6-3, and Bednar can't hold the friggin' game down. And I've come on here, I've defended Bednar. I said I love Bednar. He's got the balls, he's got the stones, he's a guy that's not afraid of the moment. What's between his ears, though? David Cohen couldn't have been more right. You cannot throw that pitch. If a guy takes you out the other way, c'est la vie, you put it right in a left-handed, the right-handed hitter's wheelhouse there. The only pitch you probably can't throw. And he throws it. And who's calling the fucking thing? Austin Wells, who's probably the worst hitter in baseball right now. When you have gotten from the point where fans can't even get worked up over Anthony Volpe because of all the vitriol that they have right now is directed towards you, that's a problem. And that is just showing how bad Austin Wells is. The guy is non-existent at the plate. Volpe works that walk back 0-2, from 0-2 to get the walk, gets the run in, 6-3. That ball from Manaea is 91, almost dead center. He can't even put good wood on it. Then we're in the 10th inning. We got first and third, one out. Volpe again, another great at-bat, draws the walk. Double play. Double play from Austin Wells. And the one thing you were defending Wells on is, oh, the staff loves him. He knows how to call a good game. And then you have David Cohen on the broadcast calling him out for calling a terrible pitch to Tyrone Taylor in the 9th inning. And yes, part of that is David Bednar's fault. A lot of that is David Bednar's fault. You can't allow the first two runners to get on. But you fight back. You get Soto. You get Vientos. You're one out away from a game the Yankees desperately need to have. And you throw that rolling curveball, the same bullshit-ass curveball that you threw that got walked off in Milwaukee. Maybe we table that one, David. I try to come on here and take things at a certain level here and not get myself worked up. But after what we just saw today, I can't do it. I am disgusted with this team right now. You had that stretch of 7-2 road trip, bro, and then you turn around and you piss it all away with a 2-7 road trip. It's not like you went through the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Rays. It was the fucking Mets and the Orioles that were at the back end of this. You can't be serious right now. So what? We get a Cam Schwitler start, and that's the only game that we can kind of bank on a win here anymore? Because Elmer Rodriguez is pretty damn good today. 4 1/3, a lot more settled in than you've seen him in his previous two starts. He only had one walk where he had walked 8 8 2/3 innings in his first stint up here. It's 6-3 in the ninth inning. Get the game home. It's a failure on such a magnificent level there by both Wells and Bednar. You put more blame on the pitcher because he allowed the first two runners on in the inning there to put the immediate pressure on there where Soto's up with nobody out as a tying run, which is the last place that you want to be in the ninth inning against the Mets there. You get him to ground into a force out, and then you get Vientos to strike out, and then you have Tyrone Taylor is one guy that you're not thinking should be taking you out. You should be kicked off the team for allowing that to happen. And as David Cone said, you cannot throw that pitch. And who remembers back 7 days ago when he threw that pitch team got walked off on? Get me over curveball in that situation? Come on. Completely eliminates anything that I ever said positively about David Bednar after today. So of all the things you thought the Yankees needed, now they need a closer. I always said, you know, David Bednar will make you sweat. He gets the requisite outs. Not after today. Not after Milwaukee now. Two home runs in a week. That leads to two losses. The team goes 2-7 on the road trip. And let's look at this. What are they, four games out in the loss column right now? This is terrible. The Yankees are four games out in the loss column right now. I don't care what day it is. May 17th, who cares? They went from being the best team in the American League a week ago to being four games behind the Rays. Can't even beat the Mets, who wanted to sell last week. How's anybody taking silver linings out of it? Oh, it's early. This is the second major dip the Yankees have had so far this season. And overall, do I think the Yankees are going to be, quote, fine? Yeah, I do, because, again, at the end of the day, they have enough talent, enough resources, and the American League is bad enough that they will find their way into the postseason. But, again, this is not what this season is about. This season isn't about getting in. This season is about winning a fucking championship. This season is about winning a title and proving that Run It Back 26 wasn't a farce, wasn't a joke, wasn't something that everybody was making fun of. It was the right move. And right now you show flashes of it for a week and then you fall on your face for 10 days. This cannot continue to happen. And they're coming home to face Toronto, who dog-walked them last year and is on a two-game winning streak of their own, came back and took a series here, and is looking to get their season back on the right track. And the Rays, who are looking to really solidify themselves, now 15 games over, four games up in the division as the top team in the American League. And I'm just supposed to believe that the Yankees are coming home and all is going to be right all of a sudden? It can get late quickly for the Yankees. And the way that the injuries are starting to mount up, you cannot piss away games that you have in your back pocket up three when the ninth inning is a game that should be in your back pocket. You can't piss that game away. Because look at where the starting pitching is right now. A strength, a thing that we thought was going to carry this team is suddenly in shambles here. Is shambles too strong of a word? I don't know, maybe. You can argue with me on that one. But look at it now, with Max Fried being out for an extended period of time here. Not the worst case scenario, obviously. No surgery is going to be involved. But it's probably at least 6 weeks before we see Max Fried. You just took your ace off the field for 6 weeks. You got Carlos Rodon, again, on Saturday, looked incredibly rusty. Not as rusty, but still incredibly rusty against the Mets on Saturday night. Ryan Weathers should still be pretty good. Will Warren should still be pretty good. And then you got Cam Schlittler, who is just ungodly right now. But then Gerrit Cole, you know, Boone backed this up on Sunday by saying one more start, and then he should be back in the rotation. Again, this guy hasn't pitched since Game 5 of the World Series in 2024 on a big league mound. You know I love the guy, but what are we getting out of him? And how long is it going to take until he is Gerrit Cole again? So suddenly, where you are in a position to say, oh, we can allow Gerrit Cole to ease back into this, and it doesn't matter what he does. Now suddenly you have a little bit more pressure on the Gerrit Cole starts than you did at the beginning of the season here. Because you were entering the season thinking you had Max Fried, you had Cam Schlittler, and those guys would be able to take the pressure off of Gerrit Cole. Well, now Max Fried is going to be out for 6 weeks at least with the elbow injury. And now Cam Schlittler, who has absolutely pitched like it, has now ascended to be the ace of the staff after barely being in the big leagues for an entire year. And you're putting a lot more pressure on a guy coming back from Tommy John surgery than you probably want it to at this stage of the season because of the injuries and the fact that the Yankees have just completed a 2-7 road trip and they have to start winning baseball games. It's just a fact of life right now. When in the course of 10 days, you go from being the best team in the American League to being 4 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays, you have to win baseball games. When you go in the course of 10 games from being that team to being a team that loses to a team that wanted to sell on June 1st because they were so friggin' terrible, you have to start winning baseball games. And you can't afford to sit there and have two guys in a rotation now that have to ease their way back into things. Not anymore. And unfortunately, that's where the Yankees are. And how can the Yankees take some of the pressure off of Gerrit Cole when he comes back? And how can the Yankees take some of the pressure from Carlos Rodon as he's back and is trying to get rid of some of this rust? Score fucking runs. It's that simple. They have to score runs. And Aaron Judge and Ben Rice are doing their part. As we said, there's 6 qualified hitters in Major League Baseball with an OPS over 1,000. Those are 2 of the 6 right there. So a third of all the hitters in baseball with an OPS over 1,000 are Yankees. And then Cody Bellinger, who you guys know I love, I don't know what it is when he's away from Yankee Stadium that he becomes non-existent. But they'll go home, so I'm sure he'll be fine. You got Unk and Paul Goldschmidt, who has been really good this year, but again, you can't play him every day. Where's the offense coming from? Trent Grisham has been incredibly inconsistent. I mean, look at what he's done so far this year. He's hitting .631 with an OPS, an average of .166. Yeah, he's hitting over .300 with runners in scoring position, but when you're hitting leadoff, that's not good enough to be a good runners in scoring position hitter. You have to get beyond base, get more hits. You can't be hitting .166 hitting leadoff. And Jazz Chisholm, my God, that at-bat that he had in the first inning today was so bad. So bad. You know, you got, who started today? Peralta throws six straight balls. And then Jazz decides he wants to murder one, a curveball that's never in the zone. Gets Peralta right back into the count. And then he's trying to destroy something 97 up and away. I mean, can we use our noodle here a little bit? We always talk about the approach at the plate for Josh Chisholm. It's non-existent. And then later in the game, you saw that he actually can use his head when he takes that ball and he shoots it up the middle or a little left center there. But you needed him to do that when there was two on in the first inning. He got an early run there, which could have been the game when you lose by one in 10 innings. And I don't really care who I offend right now. I really don't. Because, as I said, this is the last season. I'm up to my wit's end here. It doesn't really matter anymore, right? When I come and I attack Jazz Chisholm, it's one reason and one reason only. It's because I think – no, actually, I know he's a better baseball player than he exhibits on the field. I want him to be better. I want the Yankees to win. I want him to show a little bit higher baseball IQ at times. It has zero, zero, and I'll say this one more time, zero to do with his skin, the color of his skin, okay? Zero. Anybody that claims that anybody that goes after Jazz Chisholm or Trent Grisham, for that matter, is doing so because of racial motivation, you are a fucking idiot. Plain and simple. I don't know how else to plainly put it than you're a fucking idiot if you think that fans, especially ones that match my skin color, are going after Jazz Chisholm and Trent Grisham because of their skin color. It's because one guy's hitting 166 and the other guy thought he was going to do something that only Shohei Ohtani has done, and he's hitting 230 this year and is constantly showing a low baseball IQ and thought he was Barry Bonds when we don't need him to be Barry Bonds, when putting the bat on the ball could serve him and the team a lot better. Because it's convenient how you miss, you pick up on those posts, but you miss the ones where everybody wants Austin Wells off the team. Everybody wants Austin Wells on the bench. Everybody's calling Austin Wells the worst pitcher, the worst player on this team right now. You're missing the ones where everybody and their mother has been railing against Anthony Volpe for 3 years now. 3 years. But those are you ones you want to pick up on. Nothing I've ever said on social media or on this podcast has ever been racially motivated before. Only been motivated by wanting the Yankees to win baseball games. We need to stop with that shit. Not everything is so goddamn serious. Here, I heard anybody criticizing Jazz, it's a racist dog whistle. Go fuck yourself, seriously. And like I said, I don't really care anymore who it offends or what anybody thinks about that. Because guess when you love Jazz Chisholm? Is when he's a 30-30 guy. And nobody's got anything to say about him. But when he's performing poorly, and at the beginning of the season, he thinks he's telling everybody, I should go out there and I get $350 million next year, and I'm going to do something only Shohei Ohtani has done, and then he can't get out of his own way to start the season. Yeah, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're black, brown, purple, or green. People are going to call that shit out, and rightfully so. And when the Yankees give Trent Grisham $22 million when a majority of fans thought the 34 home runs last year was a fluke, and he's hitting 166 on May 17th. People are going to call that out as well. And when Austin Wells is hitting 173 and in two key spots today, grounds into a double play and hits a weak ground ball and then calls in a horrendous pitch to give up the game-tying home run, people are going to call that out. But is that one racist? I wonder about that. So sit the fuck down. This team is playing piss poor baseball right now, and it's coming at a really, really bad time. And you're letting Devin Williams pump his chest coming off the field after he vomited all over himself in the Bronx last year and couldn't wait to get the hell out of there and sulked and cried and complained like a baby to get the facial hair policy change, and he still sucked last year, and you're letting him get off the mound pumping his chest. Disgusting, pitiful job by the Yankees here. pitiful. I don't like coming on here being angry. But what else do you expect when we witness what we witnessed over the last 9 games here from the Yankees? It's terrible, terrible baseball that they're playing. You actually can sit there and look at Anthony Volpe and say, my God, what great at-bats that he had in this series. He didn't have any hits in the first 2 games of this series. He walked 5 times. Oh, what do you? Oh, he walked. Yeah, he walked 5 times. How many times is Anthony Volpe flailing at pitches, swinging through fastballs, chasing shit, and doesn't get on base? But he did. Sometimes getting on base with a walk is just as good as hitting a single, keeping the line moving, not killing rallies. And he did that in the first 2 games of the series. Walking, getting on base. And then today the bat started to come around, got his first hit with a double. And then that key hit with the 2 RBIs to get the game to 3-1. And then drew a key bases loaded walk. Again today he walked another 2 times. 7 walks in this series. He's got an OPS right now of .896 with only 2 hits because of how good his eye has been since he's come back up here. The early season mojo from this team is gone. And you'll look back at this, hopefully, and say, ah, blip. Blip nothing. These are games that could cost the Yankees the division. Every time somebody says, oh, it's only May, oh, it's only 1 game, it's only this, it's only that, bullshit. Go look at the standings last year. How many games did the Yankees lose the American League East by last year? Oh, 0, actually. Oh, they lost on a tiebreaker. So you mean any single game the Yankees lost last year, that's the game that could have been the difference between them possibly going back to the World Series and getting eliminated in the ALDS. That's the game. So when you look at this one right here today and they're up 3 in the 9th inning, that could be the game, right? So it's not just that, oh, it's only May. This was a big game that the Yankees needed to win after a 2-6 road trip that they started, and they had a chance to win a series going into 7 huge games at home against 2 division rivals, and they friggin' blew it. That's what today's game is. That is what this loss to the Mets was today. So the Yankees went out there, and they do what they do best in big situations. They vomit all over themselves. And this was a big situation today for the Yankees. They needed to get a little bit of positive momentum going into facing Toronto on Monday night, because everybody's talking about how Vlad Guerrero is slumping and he's just not Vladdy Jr. Well, guess what? He woke up today with a home run, and you know he's ready to feast coming into Yankee Stadium. So good luck with that. So when you had an opportunity today to win a baseball game, win a series, and get a little bit of positive momentum going into 4 big games against Toronto and then 3 big games against the Tampa Bay Rays, you can't piss it all away in the 9th inning. And you certainly can't run into each other on a play to end the game where I don't know if you can get the runner at home. The ball was hit slowly, but to completely eliminate any chance of keeping that game going, that just can't happen. That absolutely cannot happen. But, hey, we've seen this happen time and time again since Aaron Boone has taken over the Yankees. And speaking of since Aaron Boone's taken over the Yankees haven't won a series in Citi Field since 2018. It's almost impossible to believe with how bad some of these teams the Mets have had and how good some of the teams the Yankees have had in the last 8-9 years here, that they haven't won a series since 2018 in Citi Field. But don't worry, the Mets have won their World Series here. So now, you know, they've shown a little life. They swept the Tigers. They took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. Shown a little bit of life. And now they'll do what they do. They'll fall flat on their face again. And then they'll have this to hang over everybody. Oh, well, we won a series in May. And you'll be like, yeah, you did. And that game on Sunday is probably the reason why we're playing in the wild card series again. And I can't get over how bad they've been playing over the last 9 days here. You could have easily just washed away what happened in Milwaukee by winning another game in Baltimore in today's game. And it's a 4-5 road trip, but you took the last 2 series against teams that are inferior to you. And the one thing that we could have hung our hats on here as Yankee fans is, hey, maybe they don't beat good teams, but they're a bully team and they beat the bad teams. And right now they'd be two out in the loss column in a situation where they have a good week here against Toronto and Tampa. Maybe they can overtake them and get back into first place. But no, four out now. And you can say, again, go ahead and tell me that it's only May. I love that response. Oh, it's only May. Well, it was only April, and now we're halfway through May. The Yankees need a boost here. They need a shot of adrenaline right now. It didn't come from Spencer Jones. Okay, you would have loved to have seen him connect on one of these big, massive home runs. Hasn't happened. Anthony Volpe's been good. Defensively, he scares – even today, some of the plays that he made, he just looks really, really unsure of himself out there. But at the plate, he's been fine. Finally got his first two hits of the season here. The eye has been good, drawing walks. I don't really can't complain about him at the plate coming back here. Well, I'm sorry now. Judge took an over today, and his OPS is at 999, so we don't even have – two guys with an OPS over 1,000. But Ben Rice continues, you know, another home run today. But still overall struggling since coming back from the hand injury. I mean, if you are not going to get Rice, Judge, and Bellinger to contribute significantly, this offense is atrocious. And you look at Ryan McMahon, which we were talking about Ryan McMahon. Like, oh, well, Ryan McMahon over his last 15, he was, what, 250 with a 720. If you could get that with the defense, the Yankees would love that. You take that every day of the week. Well, you look at Ryan McMahon right now, who's up to, what, an 0-22, 0-23 right now, average down to 183, 541 on the OPS. He sucks, okay? I hate just coming out here and using such plain language, but he sucks. He's never been an average major league hitter. If you look at OPS plus, which league average is 100, he's never been average. Not once in 10 seasons has he ever been average. So, look, this is Ryan McMahon. Look at him. He's hitting the ball. You know, no, that's not. He's closer to 0-22 as a major league player than he ever was to a guy that could hit 250 in the big leagues. And you're going to put yourself in a position here where you're going to need to do things offensively to put your best nine out there where you're not going to want to do them because it's not optimal here. You're going to have to seriously toy with the idea of catching Ben Rice because J.C. Ascara and Austin Wells are fucking atrocious. I know a lot of Yankee fans want, and I heard a little bit of rumors from some guys that Ryan Jeffers could be available and that somewhere the Yankees could go. And he's got a career OPS plus a 108, which is looking like friggin' 1956 Mickey Mantle compared to what they're getting out of their catchers right now, okay? Coming into today, which obviously this went down because neither one of them did dick today, on the season, Ascara and Wells have a combined OPS plus of 108. Combined. And Ryan Jeffers is a right-handed hitter because, again, tell me how it makes any sense that you have two catchers and really three in Ben Rice that are all left-handed. If Aaron Boone really truly thinks that J.C. Ascara can start on 15 teams, start calling him up and say, hey, which one of you want to give me the best package for J.C. Ascara? Or what you can tell him to do is, bye-bye, buddy. Go down to Scranton. And Austin Wells can be your backup. Or get rid of Austin Wells. And J.C. Ascara can be the backup. I don't care. They're both terrible. They both should not be starting on this team right now. And I said on Saturday night that I knew Ascara was going to start today because it's day game after night game, and you want to let him just start the four games in Toronto just because it can't be any worse? Right. Why not? Because it can't be any worse. And maybe he runs into a couple, or maybe something is just different because you're not running the same garbage out there every night. But he's not the answer. We know this. We know J.C. Ascara is not the answer. So what is the answer? To get your best nine offensive guys in the lineup every day, you gotta start playing Paul Goldschmidt every day at first base? Nobody wants to do that. I certainly don't. And I really love the role that Paul Goldschmidt is in on this team this year. Me and Kev on the Bronx or Nowhere dubbed him Unk before you saw that shit pop up anywhere on social media, okay? And it's not a big deal, but I'm just testy today, all right? He's in the Unk role, the senior statesman role on this team. You know, spotting Ben Rice against a tough lefty, you know, coming in, getting an at-bat late in a game against a tough lefty. That's his role. That's the Unk role right now, okay? I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to start playing Paul Goldschmidt every day because you know it's going to be a law of diminishing returns. But he's better as a hitter, no doubt about it, than J.C. Ascara and Austin Wells. So you are going to have to figure out how to get him in the lineup more often because those two guys are so bad, which could possibly mean starting to catch Ben Rice, which I don't want to do. Because as bad as Ascara and Wells are, Ben Rice is not the catcher they are. He, if adequate is even the right adjective as a major leaguer for Ben Rice, and that might be shooting a little too high for Ben Rice as what he is as a catcher, and the mental and physical toll it takes working a pitching staff is not something I really want to mess with right now because he's their best hitter on a team that desperately needs offense. I know it's May 17th, but you got to start making calls here. You don't want this thing to slip away. I'm just disgusted with this team right now. It just really. And again, you know, you can come back here next Sunday and they can have a 5-2 homestand and look really good against Tampa and Toronto and. You just be gaslighting yourself. That's why when they finished that road trip, the first thing I said is I don't want to gaslight myself. And then they turn around and they do this. Because you just know. You've watched enough Aaron Boone baseball to know. And you try, because as a fan, you try to pick up on things that make you feel better about the team. Oh, look how they stepped on the necks of the Orioles and the Rangers late in these games to ease themselves into some easy wins. They didn't do that last year. And then they go around and they have a 2-7 road trip. Oh, look at Rice and Judge. Look at what Rice and Judge are doing. And then the rest of the team can't be found. They say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to win a championship in baseball. Right now, the Yankees don't have a village. They far from it. And again, do I sit here and worry about them making the postseason? On May 17th, they don't. Not even a little bit. But they have to play better than this. This is really bad right now. I don't know. I really don't want to spend any more time on this team. It was just a soul-crushing weekend here. And it's not even the Mets. Like, I know a lot of Yankee fans don't want to lose to the Mets. I don't want to lose, period, to anybody when the Yankees are heading into a series, a 9-game road trip, the final 3 games when they have 1 win in those first 6 games. I don't want to lose to anybody. And when you have the opportunity to get a series win in the final leg of that, and then when you're going home to face 2 division rivals, I don't care who they're playing. It sucks. So if Mets fans want to come out here and celebrate and think they won the World Series, great, go ahead. I don't care. But, you know, you got Cam Schwitler on Friday night. Again, great, great. Greatness from Cam Schwitler. And then it's a struggle. It's a legitimate struggle to watch this team when Cam Schwitler is not on the mound right now. And Cole looked good in his rehab on Saturday. I mean, you want to round up. He hit 99.6, so he was hit, you know, topping out nearly at 100. Control was much better. Boone said today the plan is still 1 more and then he'll be back, which would get him into the Kansas City series after this homestand, which kind of sucks because I wanted to be at his first start back from Tommy John, but it doesn't seem like that's in the cards. But again, we'll go back to like now you're putting a lot of pressure on Gerrit Cole right out of the jump here to pitch well, which you didn't want to do. So the Yankees are going, like I said, the Yankees need a, they need an injection of life here. And where does that come from, man? Can Jose Caballero play third base? Because right now, if Anthony Volpe is going to continue to be the offensive player he's been in this series against the Mets where he's walking, and then today the bat was there with a couple of big hits, it's a, you shouldn't take him out of the lineup, right? And I can't believe that I'm saying that, but you shouldn't. If he goes out there against Tampa and Toronto and continues to walk and get some timely hits here, you shouldn't take him out of the lineup. That would be counterintuitive. So they look around and tell me who should be coming out. Ryan McMahon? Josh Chisholm? I know the Yankees would loathe to take Josh Chisholm out because of the allure of what he could be. But he's got to be that guy. And until he is, it's fair game. And the one thing you don't want to do is overreact to what Wells and Ascara are doing and start catching Ben Rice. Because I don't think that's going to work out well for anybody. Just to get Goldschmidt into the lineup and to eliminate one of your bad hitters. And we're still ways away from seeing Giancarlo Stanton. Which, again, I love the guy, but he's as durable as a wet paper bag. You'd love to have Genus lineup right now and lengthen it out a little bit. Because regardless of what he is or isn't at this stage of his career, whether he's hot or not, he's still somebody that opposing pitchers have to make pitches to. And you're taking that guy out of lineup for a rookie in Spencer Jones, who has struggled mightily. And we all knew that the Cavs were going to be a part of his game. We were just hoping we were going to see some of the power, and we haven't seen it from Spencer Jones at all since he's been called up here. So while I'm angry at the Yankees, I want to bring this up here. I really do here because I was disgusted not only with how they played in these last two games and on this road trip at all, but how the Yankees handled their 5K on Saturday. Honestly, it was disgusted. It was actually an embarrassment that an organization like the Yankees ran an event like that on Saturday. So if you follow me on social media, especially on X at Christian_NYYST, same handle on Instagram, I've been chronicling my training over the last month or so, preparing for this the Pinstripe 5K that took place on Saturday. I didn't do it last year because it was the week after the Rocky run, and I didn't want to keep going another week into November. It was already mid-November. I didn't want to keep going another week, you know, because the Rocky run is something you peak for, and I just didn't want to keep going another week, okay? And it, right. So when I found out it was in May of this year, I said, that would be cool, man, because I want to do a spring race this year. I want to do a spring race this year instead of just doing Rocky in November. So when it was in May, I said, perfect, let's do it. Didn't really know what to expect. I saw the course last year, and I knew steps were involved. I didn't know that we were going to have to go up 200 and 300 twice, which really killed me yesterday. I finished in 32:26, which isn't my worst 5K time, which I guess you have to look at as a positive, considering that I've done 5Ks with no stairs slower, but I really wanted to do this in under 31 minutes, which would have absolutely been a PR for me. But hey, you know what? You've got to take victories in life. And overall, with the steps involved, I thought that was, you know, being 26th in my age group and finishing in the top 39% of all runners, I got to say, I think I've come a long way here, and I had a pretty strong performance there. And it was a lot of fun once the bell rang to start running and running around Yankee Stadium and being on the field. I had a great experience with that. Okay, so that's the good part. Okay, the bad part was everything else involved in this run here. Just a total atrocity of how the Yankees handled this thing. Okay, so they said that you could pick up your bib the day before, but only between 2 and 7. Totally inconvenient, right? So now you got to drive into the Bronx and then drive home at a time when rush hour is going to start picking up. That's if you were even available to go in at 2 o'clock. So they made it totally inconvenient for people, especially living outside of the immediate five boroughs, to go in there and get it on Saturday. So they said that you could pick it up, and they only recommend it that you'd be there an hour before your wave time. an hour before your wave time. So my wave time was supposed to start at 9:40. I got there a little bit at 8:55. It was a little bit later than I wanted to be because they were doing some construction on the bridge, which slowed me down a little bit. Okay, whatever. I'm a little bit late of getting there, but it shouldn't be that big of an issue. When I tell you that the lines to just get your bib were as long as we've seen for some of these bobblehead giveaways, I wish I was exaggerating. Because as somebody that was supposed to start running at 9:40 and was there at 8:55, when they only told you you had to be there an hour before your bib pickup, that I did not start running until 10:10 was a joke. It was an absolute joke that it took that long to get these people in to get their bibs, and then they made you wait on another line to get in there and run. And in Philadelphia, when we do the Rocky Run, they have over 30,000 people in that race. Yankees had 2,300 people and didn't know how to handle it. They made three lines to go get the bibs. And instead of going 1-2-3, 1-2-3, they did 1-1-1, then 2-2-2, then 3-3-3. What was the point of that? What was the point of letting one line go three times and then letting the next line go three times and then letting the next line go three times instead of going 1-1-1 all the way down? Because now you're just creating more of lines and creating more wait times for people. Then when you get in, you can only go into the team store to get your bib, and that's it. Then they force you back out. And this is me coming here, driving, took almost an hour to get there with the traffic, and then waiting on that line again almost an hour, all full, all hydrated, needing to for somewhere for that hydration to go. Sorry, sir, you can't go to the bathroom. You have to wait online at gate 4. I looked at the line at gate 4. I said, I'm going to find somewhere that has a port-a-john or walk to the parking garage and use the bathroom there because I am not waiting on this line. So terrible job by the Yankees in that regard. And then having to wait again, however long you waited to go run, it was just the organization skills that the Yankees have. It really shouldn't surprise you when you see how long it takes to get into games when they have 40,000 people there. But when you say they only have 2,300 people running a race, it shouldn't be like that. And then you finish, and then they got the line, the two tables, the donuts were excellent. Thank you to Rockland Bakery. That donut really hit the spot. And then you pick up your little swag bag, got some fruits, you know, some whatever it is. And you're all just like crammed in there because half the great hole is used for the run. Then they got you all filtered in over here. And then they don't have all the way open to the end there because that's where they want you to stop to walk in because that's the part where you need to go in and get the bibs. I finished the race at like 10:40 and they still had people online waiting for their bibs. I said that if they knew how to properly organize this, I would do this again next year. But the way that it was organized and run, I have zero desire to do this again. And that's what me feeling sore as hell today because of the course. The stairs were a killer. You can't train for those stairs because they're not normal stairs. If you've ever tried to go walk up those stairs, you know what a pain in the ass they are. And you have to go up them straight 200, 300 to run that lap and then down the ramps and then back up again. And those ramps are a killer because of the friggin' steep inclines in them. So, but the course, I got to say, overall, though, the experience of doing it was fun. The leading up to it and then the end there where you just wanted to kind of just like chill out for a second, see what they had to offer, and you just felt like you were stuck in the mud. And after that point, you just wanted to get out of the stadium. So just a poorly run event there and really ruined what overall could have been and still was a pretty fun experience. So do better. And how you run your 5Ks and do better on how you fucking play baseball. Because now you had a 2-7 road trip. You pissed all over down your legs here in the ninth inning today. Vomit all over yourselves, whatever the phrase is. You blow a game to the Mets that you had no business blowing. 4 games behind the Rays, and now Toronto's coming to town. And like I said earlier, you know they're ready to get their season right. You know Vladdy's ready to get his season right. And this is just a perfect storm of disaster waiting for the Yankees here. Four games, all 7:05. And it's going to be Ryan Weathers against Patrick Corbin on Monday. And Weathers was pushed back to just a day because he was scheduled to start Sunday against the Mets. And then you got Will Warren against Dylan Cease. And then Yusavage against Schwitler. I mean, if you're not doing anything on Wednesday, that's a primetime pitching matchup. Yusavage against Schwitler. You might want to go out to Yankee Stadium and see that. And then the Toronto was TBD against Carlos Rodon. And then Tampa's coming in. So we won't be back until after the Tampa series, but that covers us through the next series. So, again, the Yankees were just atrocious this week. I don't even know why we spent as much time on it as we did here, but sometimes it just feels good to get it out here. But as we said, this is the final season of NYYST. Maybe I was just a little emotional at the beginning here, but we're going to be here to the end. Whenever this flames out, hopefully it doesn't, but whenever this flames out, we'll be here till the end of it. So please click subscribe on this very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now, so you don't miss any new shows of the podcast as we move forward through here, our final season. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review, man. Show us some love, a little bit of appreciation over for the 10 years that we brought you here on NYYST. And make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube so you don't miss any new shows of the Bronx or nowhere. Due to the Yankee schedule, we will be off there until May 28th, but still click subscribe so you don't miss anything that's going on over there with Game Season Live for the Designated Spitters. We love you guys so much, and we thank you for your continued support of NYYST. This has been episode 527. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.